Well, Labasin, good afternoon. This is Gesta Desidavidas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, and of course live streaming audio over the internet anywhere else in the world at KTYM.com. Well, since the show came so close to Christmas and Kūčias, we just decided to play a little bit of Judita Leitaitė, famous mezzo-soprano in Lithuania, to open up the show today. So we hope you enjoyed that little piece of Christmas music, and now we're going to move on to other things. In Lithuania, if you've been complaining that, we've got a little rain lately, and some wind and all that stuff. Well, guess what? Tonight it's going to be 17 degrees. Tomorrow night it's going to be 15 degrees. Sunday night it's going to be 18 degrees. During the day, the highs will be in the low 20s. So, jokitas, because our weather is beautiful. By the end of the week, Thursday, Friday, we'll get up to 30, 32 degrees in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank another generous donor, the Gricis family. The Gricis family wrote us a nice, big, fat check to help us get through the year. Very much appreciated. Thank you again to the Gricis. Now, for those of you listening last week, you know that we talked about Kūčias, which is the Christmas Eve dinner celebrated by Lithuanian families. And one of the things is that everybody tries to come unless it's very, very serious that you can't make it because of illness or the like. Anyway, I had some brain surgery the weekend before, and I made it. It was a little bit rough, but we were all there, and it was great. You know, my family came in from all over the country. My son flew in from Columbus, Ohio. He wrote a Christmas song that we all performed together. They passed out the words, and we all sang it. And we had 12 dishes of all kinds of assorted Christmas food. No meat, of course. As a matter of fact, we probably had more than 12. We probably had 13 or 14. And everybody tried it. We had some guests, and they were American. You know, with no Lithuanian blood line, and everybody was told that they needed to at least taste it, and some people were pleasantly surprised when they tasted it, and even the herring went off big, which is always kind of nice. You know, sometimes the silkes are a little bit too herringy, you know exactly what I mean. But this year they were made perfectly, and I want to thank all the cooks and everybody who participated. In our family, everybody makes a little bit of something and brings it to the Kūčias so that the host or hostess doesn't have to do all the work. So, you know, my wife made two or three dishes, and everybody else made two or three dishes, and we all had a great dinner and a great time. Now, you know, what used to be called Midnight Mass got moved down to 10 o'clock. I don't know if this is such a good idea. The church was only about 65 or 70% full, and it used to be standing room only. Perhaps instead of 10 o'clock, I may make a suggestion that it be made at 11 o'clock, because people who live further away, especially out in the far suburbs like Valencia and the like, have a hard time, you know, having their family over for Kucha's dinner and then hop in the car and make it in time for 10 o'clock Mass. So I'm going to put out there that Father Thomas change it to 11, sort of take a middle ground so that Kucha's Mass can be attended more fully. You know, midnight Mass at Christmas could be attended more fully.
Партизанна ворогу суняли, там где то клаусе, то кью женялю, громщеве, того содиба, люди веса шаляли, громщеве.
Well, with Kuchas and Christmas and the more holy part of the year behind us, it's time for New Year's Eve in Lithuania. It's become quite modern and hip to go to the, you know, hotels and the nightclubs and all that to celebrate New Year's Eve. In Lithuania, Christmas Eve is a family event, and New Year's Eve is a great party with great friends. Lithuanians say kaip sutiksi naujus metus taip jūs ir praleisi, which means the way you'll meet the new year is the way you will spend it. So everyone tries to spend New Year's Eve with friends and have as much fun as possible. Lithuanian New Year's traditions are very similar to those in other countries, and actually were similar since many years ago. Also, the traditional Lithuanian New Year's Eve party was very similar to other big celebrations throughout the year. The New Year's Eve table is quite similar to the Christmas Eve table, but without straw under the tablecloth, and now includes meat, a tradition that definitely hasn't changed is that everybody is trying not to fall asleep before midnight. It was said that if you sleep the midnight point of New Year's, you will be lazy all of the upcoming year. People were also trying to get up early on the first day of the new year, because waking up late also meant a very lazy and unfortunate year. During the New Year celebration, people were dancing, playing, singing games, doing magic tricks to guess the future. People didn't drink much of alcohol, especially for women. During the new year, you have to be very nice and listen to your relatives. What you are doing during the new year, you will be doing throughout the year. During the new year, try not to fall, because if you do fall, next year will not be very happy. In the start of the new year, the first news are good, and the year will be successful. If not, the year will be problematic. If during the New Year's Eve it's snowing, then it will be bad weather all year round. If the day is fine, one can expect a good harvest. If New Year's night is cold and starry, look forward to a great summer. If New Year's Eve trees are covered with frost, then it will be a good year. If it is wet weather on New Year's Eve, one can expect a year where many will die, with dangerous epidemics occurring. If the first day of the New Year is snowy, the upcoming year will see many young people die. If the night is snowy, mostly old people will die. If the New Year's time is cold, then Easter will be warm. If during New Year's there is a lot of birds on your homestead, then all year there will be many guests and the year will be fun. Most of Christmas Eve games were played also on New Year's Eve, but some are special also for this celebration. On the New Year's Eve night, girls write 12 male names on 13 little sheets of paper. One is left empty. They fold them and put them under their pillow. In the morning, she should draw one without looking. The name she draws will show the name of her future husband. But if it's the empty one, she will stay single. If a girl wakes up at night and makes her draw then, she must put the paper piece onto the bedside table and read it in the morning. Guys can do the same thing, only writing female names, of course. Young people sit around the table, put a key, ring, a little glass of water, or some money on the plates and cover them, then mix the plates up. One by one, the players choose the plates. The one that gets a ring will get married. Water means one will get an alcoholic husband or wife, and a key means one will move to a new home. And of course, money means one will be rich. Nowadays, the New Year's Eve celebration is very similar to everywhere else. Some celebrate at home, some in clubs, some rent houses somewhere out of town and party. People will still be trying not to fall asleep until midnight and still have a great time. Lithuanians do not make much out of New Year's Eve promises or intentions, or they do them quietly to themselves. At midnight, Lithuanians gather together outside on bridges, squares, or in little town centers to watch fireworks and wish each other a new year. Happy New Year to all of you. Be creative, positive, and happy, and let all your dreams come true, and stay true to who you are. Now, I have another New Year's Day write-up from the Lithuanian homepage. Okay, this is from Mrs. Bindukienė. She's been writing about Lithuanian traditions for years. She takes a more Christian approach. In certain regions of Lithuania, New Year's Eve was known as Little Christmas Eve. Foods similar to those to Christmas Eve were prepared, except that the dishes could contain meat and straw was not placed under the tablecloth. People stayed up on New Year's Eve at least until midnight to greet the New Year. If an individual sleeps through such an important moment, his entire year could go badly. He'll be groggy and lazy. The main concern on New Year's Eve day is to learn the future. What kind of year will it be? What will it bring? How will life go? Consequently, certain prognostications were performed on New Year's Eve and on the following day. The vital question for young girls was whether or not they would marry next year. Would she find a beau who would be her beloved or husband? Young men were also preoccupied with forming a family. Would a girl fall in love with him? Would he get to be get a good, pretty, industrious, and rich wife? The older folk wished to know, would the year be good, prosperous, and safe? Would the harvest be bountiful? Remember, we're talking about an agricultural country. Would the livestock thrive? Would there be storms, heavy gales, and thunderstorms? The old people yearned to know, would they live one more year on earth? Would they be healthy, strong, and wealthy? Even if the divinations on New Year's Eve and day were unable to solve all these problems of life, rather, they at least afforded an opportunity to pass a pleasant holiday evening, spending time with family, friends, neighbors, and the like. On New Year's Eve, many of the auguries and forecasts done on Christmas Eve were repeated. The weather and other events of New Year's Eve and the day could also foretell the following year's weather. For example, if it snows on New Year's Day, the weather would be bad all year. If the day is clear, the harvest would be good. If the trees are covered with frost, the year would be good. But if there is a thick fog, people would die. Epidemics and disease would rage. Death was also predicted in the following manner. If it snows, on New Year's during the day, young people will die that year. If it snows at night, old people will die. If it is very cold on New Year's Day, Easter will be very warm. If many birds gather in your yard on New Year's Day and they chirp, causing a racket, the household will have many guests all year long and the year will be happy. Predictions of a personal nature were made on New Year's Eve and throughout the following day. Although these days no one actually believes these predictions, they amount to an amusing and interesting game based on our most distant past. It is worthwhile to remember and try them. Children try to be good so their parents will not scold or punish them, for this will continue into the following year. People try to be careful on New Year's Day, for their actions that day will determine their behavior all year. Adult family members do not argue or fight. Smile a great deal and help one another, because then they can expect the same throughout the year. If a person falls on New Year's Day, he will be unlucky all year long. Whatever news is heard on New Year's Day will determine the whole year. If the first news heard is good, the year will be good. If the news is bad, the entire year will be bad. But the best time was had with the young people's prophecies, for they tried to solve the next year's love problems. The last time before the holidays, when a girl receives a corsage or bouquet of flowers, which was an ancient custom. It used to be a wreath or a rue the girl wore on her head at a party. But here we can change that to flowers. She must dry the flowers, crush them thoroughly, and set them aside. On New Year's Eve, the flowers are burned. A pinch of the ashes sprinkled into a glassful of water, and the glass placed on a table covered with a white cloth with two candles lit on the two candles lit on either side. The girl then sits and looks along into the bottom of the glass through the layer of ashes. She is thus able to see the man that she will marry. A girl writes 12 male names on 12 pieces of paper. The 12 pieces symbolize the months of the year and leaves a 13th blank. Now, we just went through this in the earlier part. She folds the papers and places them under her pillow. When she wakes in the morning, she pulls out the first piece her hand encounters and reads it. She will marry whosoever name is on the paper. If she gets the blank piece, she will be single that year and no one will fall in love with her. The months of fortune telling, this method of fortune telling is also suitable for men. They write 12 names of female on papers and then follow the same procedure. On New Year's Eve, a girl lights 12 candles, sits in front of a mirror, and looks into it. At exactly midnight, she will see her future in the mirror. This is done in private. The girl must be alone in her room. The assembled young men and women sit around a table, and place a candle in the middle and light it. In some places, this is done with a match affixed in a bar of soap or wax to keep it from falling over. It is then necessary to wait until the match finishes burning and extinguishes. After a while, a boy or a girl asks who loves him or her and carefully blows out the candle. Everyone sits very still and watches to which side the candle smoke drifts, determining who loves the questioner. If the smoke rises straight up, no one present loves the person who asked. If the smoke suddenly turns downward, someone in the room really hates the questioner. In order to learn of her future husband, is a wealthy girl runs into the yard and selects a stick from a pile heap for that purpose. The first stick that she touches with eyes closed or head turned aside must be pulled out. If the stick has branches, the husband will be rich. If it does not, he will be poor. That's how she finds out. Well, a key, a ring, a small water goblet, and coin are placed under overturned bowls. The bowls are mixed up and everyone chooses one in turn. The person who finds the ring will marry. Whoever finds the water will have a drunk for a spouse. The key means owning a house. The coin signifies wealth. The future is also predicted from various signs, shadows, matched and unmatched sticks, matches, peas, and candy. Although Lithuanian hospitality did not preclude alcoholic beverage during such festivities, women and girls rarely consumed whiskey or beer. The mood of the evening depended more on games, predictions, jokes, and fortune-telling than the amount of alcohol consumed. This sample of custom shows that on New Year's Eve and on New Year's Day, people in Lithuania like to visit and party, but the fun was more of a family variety where all guests and members were included in games and auguries, thereby creating a happy and pleasant atmosphere. So you can see that from ancient pagan traditions up to even the present day, New Year's Day was more a day of predictions and prognostications about the future than it was about simply drinking a lot. Unfortunately, that's what's happening now with globalization and all. People go to bars, and the amount of alcohol consumed seems to overwhelm all the ancient traditions people are forgetting. But hopefully, this comes back and circles around and things change, especially out in the countryside. We'll be right back. Namuose nuo moterų kirpyklose iki vyrų darbuose iki presuotojų gamyklose pasveikinkit vieni kitus juk tai daryti šitaip lengva ir tavo rūpesčiai vieną dieną baigsis tavo gyvenimas vieną dieną keisis nereikia tavo paso mano džiaugsmo valstybė palikit savo liūdesį ramybėje kai gyveni Well, we've got a couple of minutes from news from Lithuania. Here's a headline. The fear of Islam in Lithuania is growing. The Baltic Church has voiced concern about possible Russian aggression against the Baltic states. This comes from the BalticReview.com, and the headline is The Baltic Church has voiced concern about possible Russian aggression against the Baltic states. A top Baltic Church leader has voiced concern about possible Russian aggression against Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, and appealed to Western Catholics to be better informed about the situation, reported the Catholic News Service. We're in the front line, and Russia has made its intentions clear. While we feel NATO support, we know the front could move forward if the international community fails to stand firm, said Archbishop Gintaras Grušas of Vilnius. Archbishop Gintaras Grušas grew up right here in the Los Angeles area, and he is known personally by many of us. He is president of the Lithuanian Bishops' Conference, and now, Archbishop of Vilnius. What isn't fully realized in the West is that the information and the propaganda war which preceded the military action against Ukraine is very much underway here, too, in Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. There's a high degree of tension, and everybody here knows how dangerous the situation has become. The Archbishop spoke to Catholic News Services on December 11th, nearly a week after the U.S. House of Representatives approved an additional $1 billion for training and deploying U.S. forces in the Baltic states and Eastern Europe. The Baltic world continues to unify. For the past 2.5 decades, the Baltic Sea region has been a hub bustling with commercial activity. The region is made up of dynamic economies which have experienced rapid structural change and growth. The Baltic Sea is a major outlet of trade flowing in and out of the region. Many of the countries along the Baltic shores are also significant players in European politics and global affairs. Seen in a historical perspective, this state of affairs is hardly unusual, given the size and weight of the major Baltic powers such as Germany and Russia. The quote-unquote Baltic world, to borrow a term from the British historian David Kirby, over time accrued more importance than its mere geographic position in Europe's northern periphery that it could have warranted. In the Cold War, the Baltic Sea region, however, was one of its many frozen fronts. While it would be wrong to say that traditional links and forms of commercial and societal interaction ceased here altogether, the levels fell far below what the historical record and the inherent potential of the Baltic world would have suggested. That then came 1989, and the world changed in European history. The year of the opening of the Berlin Wall, the end of real existing socialism in Europe, and the final closing acts of the Cold War that had plagued international relations since the 1940s. By 1992, the face of Europe had changed almost beyond recognition. The two Germanies were united in one powerful state. The Soviet Union had fallen to pieces, with the Russian Federation succeeding what remained of it, and the three Baltic republics had regained their independence. As a mirror image of Eastern disintegration was Western integration. The European community's internal market project took leaps ahead with so-called the 1992 agenda, and the community itself was transformed into the European Union established in the Treaty of Maastricht that year. The first post-Cold War enlargement, with Austria, Sweden, and Finland lined up for membership, was by 1992 well underway. Given the constellation of the stars lighting the Baltic world after 1989, it was only natural to have high expectations in the future. To a large extent, these expectations were fulfilled in the following two decades. Economically, the boom of the 2000s was nearly unprecedented, fueled by rapid growth in Russia, Poland, and the Baltic states, and also in the more established economies of Germany and Sweden. Unfortunately, the current perspective nonetheless is less bright than that of the celebrations of the 20th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall in 2009. Much of the change has to do, of course, with developments in Russia. Already before the political crisis with Ukraine blew into a military confrontation, Russia's economy had turned to a downward cycle. This is unlikely to be a passing phase. With the EU economy in trouble as a whole and little help to be expected from the outside, the inner dynamism of the Baltic world is not enough to pull it out from its current problems. Rising military tension, witnessed by incidents and activity involving Russian aircraft in air and at sea over Baltic land and waters, does not help alleviate the situation. The Baltic Sea has once again become a spot where different worlds meet, and this meeting will not be without difficulty. We hope you have a new year, a great new year, and keep listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. I'm Kęstutis Reividas, and remember, worldwide streaming audio at KTYM.com.
Жінка й пошалки тілень, бію ну квапа дяга.